All right, welcome to the Sons of Fantasy Football League podcast. I'm your host and commish, the Denver Desert Dog. Not on my Christmas card list this year is Josh Jacobs, Tank Dell, Ramondre Stevenson, maybe even Patrick Mahomes, not on my Christmas list. Shane, I think Keenan Allen and Isaiah Pacheco might not be getting any pictures of the Twins this year either, right?
Yeah, lump of coal. Lump of coal for sure. can't complain too much about especially Allen carrying me to this point, but I mean, we've talked about it a few times. We all knew it's coming. He can't make it through. The guy just can't make it through a full season without being hurt some way. First week of the fantasy playoffs rolls around and the guy's out with a sore heel. Like, what's going on?
Do you think that heel hurt more or less after Justin Herbert's finger got hurt?
See, yeah. He seemed like he was walking around just fine the last couple of weeks. Herbert goes down and all of a sudden it's out of my arm.
Yeah.
Ow. I can't play this week, coach. I don't feel well. My stomach hurts.
Yeah, I don't think Easton Stick got him tingly, to take a...
Not exactly. Which, I mean, definitely plays a part. It would disappoint. I mean, I thought for sure he had some pretty gaudy numbers going that I thought he might want to attempt to go for maybe some personal best and stuff that I felt like was in play for him this year. But apparently not all that important to him.
Yeah, Papa Kaz was talking to me about that tonight, too. What kind of number? I mean, yeah, a ton of catches. God, four games over double-digit catches. He's been incredible, so. Definitely a bummer.
100 catches. I thought he might want to go with 4 weeks to play. He's at 107 catches, I think. He might want to go for, hey, can I get to 150?
Yeah.
something like that. I mean, but not the case.
Well, I was definitely bummed about Josh Jacobs, but we just watched Zamir White punch one in. Couple waiver moves this week. Go ahead.
If you've been paying attention, and clearly the league has not, myself included, I've been saying it for weeks now, and it's all but over. Desert Dogs with a Georgia running back in their lineup.
Oh, he went to Georgia?
Where have we seen this before?
I didn't know he went to Georgia. I would have bid more.
Where have we seen this before? Desert Dogs with a Georgia running back leading the way in the playoffs. It's all downhill for the rest of us. We're playing for second.
Man. I would have bid more if I knew it was a Georgia running back. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Also had some quarterback action yesterday. Got some texts from Eddie tonight about it. Boll Weevils, who have NFL MVP candidate Brock Purdy as their quarterback, go out and spend $11 on Matt Stafford and $3 on Baker Mayfield. This was a very apparent block of the steel curtain who lost Justin Herbert to that finger injury. Curtain without a quarterback except for they picked up Aaron Rodgers. So thought it was some interesting QB work on the wire yesterday as well. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought the Matt Stafford pickup was a really nice one by Bull. I actually probably should have done that myself. I thought about it.
Me too.
it was between Love and Stafford for me. I'm going to roll the dice with Love. Probably been second guessing myself 100 times all day. I probably should have went with Stafford. Love the matchup this week, obviously. Pretty juicy next week as well, I believe, for him. So. Really, really like that pickup by Bull. I think it's a nice one. I'm not so sure that Bull was blocking.
he told me he was.
Oh, he was?
Yes. Right. He said, Ed needed a quarterback. There were only two that I felt like were worth getting. And I wanted to... He said he didn't think 11 was enough, but he said, "What the hell? I'll make an effort." So,
I love it. I love it.
Yeah,
that's good stuff.
The interesting part is they can't play each other next week.
Yeah, so you can only play them in the finals. So
that's just dastardly.
Yeah, confident in the squad.
Yeah, so
I like it.
Interesting. I don't want to spend a ton of time talking about Aaron Rodgers, but there's no way he comes back and plays, right?
I can't believe that he will. It's nice for his ratings and Pat McAfee's ratings, and it gets him some more ego talk while he's sitting there chit-chatting with the boys, pumps his chest a little bit, acting like he's going to be the guy that's the comes back from Achilles and 4 months or whatever it's going to be. I can't imagine that he's going to suit up and play this year for a team that's not going to make the playoffs. Then again, hey, the Jets come out and win this week, pull off a win, and they're a game out of the playoffs probably in the AFC. So in that scenario, maybe he does.
Yeah.
I just don't see it, though. I mean, there's 7-6 teams, something like that, in the AFC right now?
Yeah, and the Steelers are one of them.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets are sitting there at 5-8, so they're 2 games back right now, but, I mean, some of those teams are going to beat each other up.
Yep.
They get a win this week. There'll be a game out. Obviously, they have to run the table, so I don't know. I don't see it happening, but it would make for an interesting story. And a sneaky, low risk pickup. I mean, you didn't have to spend anything on him, and he obviously needed to go with someone.
Yeah.
Obviously, he picks up Mullins as the more likely play.
For next week?
Well, is that who he picked up for this week?
Ed doesn't play this week.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yes, you're right. He has the bye this week. So, I mean, he has picked up Nick Mullins, I'm assuming, to be his quarterback for...
I missed that he did that.
Next week against Detroit.
I missed that he did that, but Detroit, you want all that smoke against them right now, so.
Yeah.
All right, you got some trivia. Phil may join in a little bit, but we'll do our best to get through this.
I do. I mean, I had a question that I felt like Phil could do some damage on. It's been a pretty similar to one. I'm sure we've done some sort of... I don't know that we've done this exact one, but some sort of version of this. But yeah, so didn't have a whole lot of time to research a great question tonight, so I just went back to one of the old staples. But since the year 2000, there have been 15 players that have scored at least 90 touchdowns in the NFL. Looking for the 15 players since 2000 that have scored 90 tutters. And keep in mind, there's a reason for every question.
Yeah. I don't think this is the reason, but I have to start with Todd Gurley.
Todd Gurley, not anywhere near this list.
Really?
67 tutters in 6 seasons played for Todd Gurley.
All right, well... Did he get both feet in?
I think he bobbled it. I don't know. It looked like he bobbled it. It's going to be an interesting replay.
Man, TG3, only 67.
Yeah, only 67. That was kind of surprising. I thought it was a little lower than I thought. I thought he would be closer to this list.
Okay. So back to the drawing board. I think I know the reason for the question. Cameron Newton. I'm way off.
Phil really should have joined here.
Okay.
Because Cam Newton is not on this list as well.
All right. I was just thinking because of the headlines this week with him that maybe you looked into Cam Newton's career. All right. Let's start over. Reset. Reset. All right. So since 2000. Whew. All right. I'm going to guess LaDainian Tomlinson.
LaDainian Tomlinson, number one. By a wide margin on this list, 162 touchdowns.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Pretty decent player.
1 foot Yeah, he didn't get the second one in. All right. It's kind of a sneaky hard question. Like Phil talks about, sometimes it's hard to get your bearings as to like time frames. 2000 feels like it was like 10 years ago.
It does, but this is it's a long while ago.
Randy Moss,
number two, 128 touchdowns, so 34 behind LT.
Okay. Terrell Owens
is number four, 125 touchdowns.
And you said there's 15?
15 of them, yep.
Man, that's brutal. A lot of good football players that, like, this is... You're probably laughing. You probably don't think this is
there. A lot of obviously. I mean, you have to score this many touchdowns, you have to be a good football player. But yeah, there's a lot of big names on this list that you. Okay, the reason for the question: five of the players played for teams that we're watching tonight. You've gotten two of them.
Okay. Antonio Gates.
Antonio Gates is number six on this list. 116 tutters.
All right.
So the last two were full-time players. One,
right.
They both played for one of these teams at some point in their career. One of them might be starting in softball playoffs this week.
Might be starting.
Is starting.
Yeah. I think there's got to be some more wide receivers on this list, so I'm guessing DeAndre Hopkins.
DeAndre Hopkins not on this list. My list only goes to 83 tutters. He does not have 83 yet. So.
Okay. All right. How many active players are there?
There are 1, 2, 3. Active players, they're the last three guys on this list.
Okay. All right, so active players that I'm thinking about. God, Julio Jones is known for, like, not catching touchdowns. So, but 90's a lot, but I'm going to guess Julio.
Julio's not on this list either.
All right.
Not even on the 83 list.
Not even close.
One of them is starting in the softball playoffs this week. We are watching him on the screen as we
Devontae speak. Is Devontae Adams on this list?
Devontae Adams, 91 tutters.
That's insane.
Already. Still got to figure he's got a few good years left here.
That's wild to me. All right, and then another Raider or Charger. All right. Active players. Let's think here. Is Gronk on the list?
Gronk is on the list. He's 12th. Okay. 93 touchdowns.
All right. So two other active players with 90 touchdowns.
Two other active players with 90 touchdowns. One of them will also be playing in the softball playoffs.
Okay. So you didn't say this week.
Catch.
Yeah. So that leaves me two players, either Mike Evans or Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey came in, I believe, in 17. That would be really hard to have 90 touchdowns. So I'll go Mike Evans.
Mike Evans, 92 tutters, one ahead of Devontae Adams.
All right. So one more active player. And if I had to guess the active player, I'm going to say, I think it's wrong, but I'm going to say Derrick Henry.
It is Derrick Henry. He will not be playing in the softball playoffs this year.
Ah, that would have been good to say. But. All right, so what have I said, seven so far?
You have eight.
Eight. So far. All right. Yep. All right, I'm just going to kind of go through the teams quick. LeSean McCoy.
So he is tied for the first guy off the list. 89 touchdowns for Shady McCoy.
Okay.
Tied with Steve Smith Sr. at 89. Not sure if you were going to guess him or not.
No, I would not have gone Steve Smith Sr. Okay. So who else in the NFC East, if anyone? The only other name I'm considering from the NFC is to be like Dez Bryant, maybe. But I'll say it, Dez Bryant.
No, Bryant's not on the list. Okay. There are no more NFC East guys. The next NFC East guy actually would be Zeke.
Oh.
I believe, with 83 touchdowns.
Okay. NFC North, Adrian Peterson.
Adrian Peterson's third. 126 touchdowns for Peterson.
Nice. All right. Definitely no Bears on this list. No Lions. Calvin Johnson.
Only 84 for Calvin.
Okay.
Too short of a career.
All right. And
obviously would have been there if he kept playing. Probably right. Be well into the hundreds.
The only other Packer that I would consider is Jordy Nelson, but I think I'm going to leave him off.
So I'm going to tell you right now, you're thinking your bar is way too low right now.
Right, right.
There are some really, I mean, the rest of the players that are still here are
all-timers. Like,
obviously, all Hall of Famers except maybe one. and he's the one that played for one of these teams. The rest of them are all surefire Hall of Fame players.
Okay.
Some of them already in. Were.
Right. Falcons, Bucks, Panthers, no. Niners, Seahawks. All right, so played for one of these teams. This is ridiculous. Just throwing passing touchdowns.
Yep, to my opponent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stick a fork in me.
Oh, he's got Jacoby Myers.
Yeah.
So the only other player, I think that bar's too low. Okay, so Seahawks, Niners, Rams. I don't think there's any Rams on this list. And then Cardinals. Larry Fitzgerald.
That's what I was kind of chuckling. I was like, the forgotten man.
Yeah.
Everyone just forgot. The second best wide receiver of all time, Larry Fitzgerald. Okay. 121 touchdowns.
All right.
I got to laugh because you said you went through Seahawks, Niners, and three of these guys played for the Seahawks or Niners.
Oh, really? Okay. So if there is a Seahawk on this list, Marshawn Lynch.
So Marshawn Lynch is the guy that Seahawks and Raiders.
Okay.
He was the last guy to play for one of those teams.
When you said my bar was too low, I was kind of, he was one that, you know.
He was the last guy that I was like, I don't know that he's a surefire Hall of Famer. Right. The other guys are 100% getting
in the Hall. So the Niners, guy, Frank Gore.
Frank Gore, 100 touchdowns even.
Another guy played for the Seahawks or Niners.
Arguably one of the best fantasy running backs ever, especially when we started playing fantasy football.
Is Sean Alexander on this list?
Sean Alexander, 112 touchdowns. He was really good, man.
Yeah, I know, but you always remember that one season that he had with the however many touchdowns it was, but like, I guess I never felt like he did it for that long, but all right. So how many?
These last two, there's two left. They're probably, I guess, the oldest guys on the list. Or two of them, very close to probably the two oldest guys on the list.
Okay. I'm guessing they're both AFC players.
That is correct.
Okay.
What they're mostly well, one was both, but he's more, I think, more known. I'm a little partial because I grew up watching him being one of my favorite players. But he played for an NFC and an AFC team.
Okay. A name that comes to mind is Marvin Harrison.
Marvin Harrison, 10th, 95 touchdowns. Peyton's okay. Favorite target.
And then I got one guy left.
Yeah.
You say he's one of your favorite players.
One of my favorite players growing up, like right. When we were young. Remember who my favorite team was growing up?
Yeah, I know. So I'm thinking Larry Johnson, but it's probably not him. Don't think it's Priest Holmes. Don't think Jamal Charles is not old enough. Marcus Allen is too old. Yeah, I don't know.
You're thinking of the wrong position here. You went all over the wrong positions.
Oh, Tony G.
Tony G. Yeah. Number 9, 96 tutters. That's a tough one. Yeah, a lot of tough. People don't realize. I'd love to get when Phil gets on here. How tough it is. I love being on the other side of this too. When you guys ask the questions, how much tougher it is. Like. It seems so easy when you're the guy asking the questions. Like, when you're just sitting there trying to think.
Yeah.
Like, how, like, not, like, nerve-wracking, but, like, just, like, how tough it is to actually come up with good answers.
Yeah, I mean, I kept thinking of, like, Jerome Bettis. Like, but...
Yeah, he's nowhere there.
But I think he only played 5 years.
Yeah, like, most of his good years were in the 90s.
Right.
The one thing I was shocked about, couple things. I mean, Priest Holmes was 85, by the way, so you were on the right track there. But AB, 88. I thought he would have been on there. But just to think of where he would be if he wasn't crazy.
Yeah.
88, skipped out on 2-3 years of his prime.
Well, and how many years has Devontae Adams has been in the league? 7 years, I think. 7 or 8 years, and
8 years. I don't want to say.
You got guys like Julio Jones, AJ Green, guys that came in well before him that didn't do it.
Yep. It's weird because I mean, like Julio Jones is obviously can make a case that he's a top three receiver of all time. If you want to make a case, I mean, I don't agree, but he's certainly up there. But I have to look at his stats, but like he's nowhere near this list.
No, it's Jerry Rice, Larry Fitzgerald, and Randy Moss, and I'm not really even in the mood to hear any other arguments other than those three.
Yeah, but if you go on the Twitter sphere and the deep parts of the interweb, you'll see people making that argument. I see it a lot when I'm scrolling.
And Terrell Owens.
People love Julio.
Terrell Owens is fourth, and I'm not even really willing to hear any other. Like, those are the top four.
I agree. I got Rice, Fitz, and Moss are my three for sure.
I got a funny Randy Moss story. All right, so kids are getting into. They've been watching the the Peyton's Places story and our Peyton's Places episodes. It's one of Emmett's favorite shows. He watches every episode. I sometimes will catch the end of an episode or something. But so he's been getting into old football players. I got him a Jerry Rice jersey recently. And, you know, having two kids, you know this. You can't buy one of anything. You got to buy a second. So I'm like, all right, Jonah's into colorful stuff. So I got him a Randy Moss Vikings jersey. All right. So give my kids Moss and a Rice jersey. And Jonah's pissed. He's like, I'm not wearing that. I don't know who that dude is. Like, you know, and I was pissed. I let it go a day or whatever. I'm like, you've watched and you ever heard the term you got mossed? I'm like, that's the guy. so finally I've had enough and I pulled up YouTube and Googled, you know, Randy Moss highlight reel. And he's very adamant that he's not wearing this jersey. I need to return it. We go through the top 50 plays of Randy Moss's career on YouTube. It's like a 17-minute video. And the video ends and he says, Dad, can I ask you something? And I said, yeah. He said, can I have the jersey?
So, yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I thought you might want that jersey after you watch this dude on the field. Like, just some of
you watch the top 50 plays of his career, and probably 20 of them are in the top 100 of the NFL.
Right. Yeah. Just jumping over three guys, running away from people. Like, it's just... Yeah, insane. So,
yeah, they don't make players like Randy Moss very often.
No,
if ever.
No, guys nowadays have heel injuries. So,
yeah.
just to bring it full circle. All right, so two playoff games this week. We'll put a little better effort together than we did last week. You want to be the game of the week, or should I?
No, I think you guys got to be the game of the week. I think you guys are probably both better than the two teams playing. I think you guys are, if we had to rank the wild card teams, I think you and Scher are probably 1-2 and me and Spears are 3-4.
All right.
Well, in whatever order you want to put.
All right. So we'll start off with ice cream against Take Your Ball and Go Home. Funny enough, we're battling injuries and ice cream gets Justin Jefferson back and Abusement Park. Tyreek Hill cannot be kept off the field. So our opponents stay healthy and we are not healthy. So this matchup right now, tight one, projected 107 to 106. Ice cream favored by a point. That's because of that Jacoby Myers touchdown that we talked about. 8.7 for him so far. 4.1 for your wide receiver, Devontae Adams. Joining Jacoby Myers on ice cream, Justin Fields, Bijan Robinson, James Conner, Chris Godwin, Brandon Cooks, Travis Kelce, Justin Jefferson, and Jacoby Myers. First time in a bunch of weeks that this team looks whole. There's been a lot of Tyler Algier in the running back two spot. There's been a lot of, you know, other Antonio Gibson in the flex spot, and those guys are on the bench this week. Connor's healthy. Jefferson's healthy. Brandon Cooks has emerged here of late. Chris Godwin's probably, those two are probably the weak point. So we'll start off on the ice cream side, and we will talk about Justin Jefferson. Cam comes out and says that he is playing this week. He took that big hit on a hospital ball from Josh Dobbs last week. I thought immediately like lacerated kidney or something the way he got hit. Ended up being a chest injury. And I think it's a full go this week against Cincinnati. I'd be excited if I was a Jefferson owner. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. I got to believe. I mean, he's not fully healthy, obviously, after taking that big hit. But clearly if he's playing, suiting up on a short week, he feels like he can do some things. He's not gonna risk it. I feel like, especially on a short week, gotta feel like Cincinnati's been giving up some points. They can be scored upon. It's a decent matchup. I mean, obviously he's an incredible player. On top of that, I would expect I have to bank on keeping him out of the end zone. I would expect him to get back to a little better production. The bright side for me is the quarterback play gonna be good enough? We've seen what Nick Mullins is. It's okay. it's not great. First time in the lineup, is he gonna be able to get him the ball enough to get the production that Spears is looking for? I'm hoping that it's not there. But I would expect Jefferson to get into the double digits this week. With the tutter, he's getting in the high teens, close to 20.
Yeah, I think we've seen Nick Mullins, like you said, it's not great, but we have seen some good games. The arm talent's not awful, it's just he's not going to make great decisions, but I can definitely see him locking in on someone and just force feeding. And for my sake, I'm hoping it's not Hockenson.
Yeah.
Because I could see it being either of these guys. Also, I'm expecting a Travis Kelce monster this week. Like, yep. These two guys, Mahomes and Kelce, they're embarrassed. And there's been a lot of stuff talked about them the last 2 weeks. You definitely, 11.5 is a bad projection for this by ESPN.
Yeah, I mean, this reminds me, for anyone that's there, when the coach is trying to rally the team saying, hey, Bobby can't do this all by himself. You have to help. I mean, I got to figure Andy Reid took Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce aside and said, hey, or told the team, hey, Travis and Pat can't do this all themselves. And then when they all left, he talked to them separately and said, you guys are going to have to do this yourself. and that's going to be the case this week. There's no doubt. We talked about it. I talked about it, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, that I didn't want to play Spears for the sheer fact of Kelce, New England, Jefferson coming back. The team finally, like you said, rounding into full shape. This is certainly Kelce playing at New England where Gronk played. There's a weird, he wants to prove that he's better than Gronk, whatever. This has two tutters written all over it. I'm definitely not happy about this particular matchup. I got to try to keep Kelce under 20, but I don't think it happens.
Yeah. I agree. I think Mahomes is gonna, and that's part of the reason I considered Stafford myself too. But like, how do you sleep at night not playing Patrick Mahomes? Like, especially in this matchup.
Yeah, it's just at some point when things are going wrong. I've touched on it before here. When things are going wrong, you go back to. It's a sport where you can always give the ball to your best player if you choose to. You're going to go to what works, what you know is you're comfortable with, what you know is going to be the sure thing, and everything else for the Chiefs is not working. But this will work. They know it. It's going to happen. It's going to be a lot of targets for Kelce this week.
All right, let's go over to your team. Jordan Love, Zach Moss, Chuba Hubbard, Devontae Adams, George Pickens, Sam Laporta, Amon-Ra, and DJ Moore. I want to start off with your running back one, Zach Moss. Obviously, Jonathan Taylor out. Early in the year when Taylor was out, Moss was a fantasy stud. Had a great start to the season. Was really high in the running back rankings through week 8. Taylor came back. He tapered off. Taylor gets hurt. And, you know, Zach Moss was, he's an RB1 rest of the season. It's been disappointing. He gets Pittsburgh this week. Should be a plus matchup for him based on what Zeke did last week. Are you expecting a bounce back game from your top running back, Zach Moss?
I'm going to need it. I don't know if I'm expecting it. I do like the fact that Pittsburgh's reeling a little bit. I actually think there's going to be some points in this game. Weirdly, I believe there's going to be some points. At least it's in the dome. I think there could be a little more points than expected here. Love to hear Phil's take on that. But yeah, no tutters the last 3 weeks with leading the show. And that's kind of been the difference. He's been okay. Other than that, I mean, not great, but okay as far as, like, the touches are there. He did some work out of the backfield last week. Just not getting in the end zone. And if he's not getting in the end zone, he's not a guy that can carry your lineup. I mean, he was getting in the end zone early in the year, and that's why he was in the RB1 status. Now he's not the last 3 weeks, and now it looks like 6, 7, 8 points, and that's what you get. But you throw those tutters on there, and he's in the 12, 13, 14 range, and you're smiling, very happy about it.
Yeah, it should be some points. I agree with you. We should see some short fields with Mitch Shue at quarterback in that game. That's a combination on those two awful quarterbacks. So I could see Zach Moss punching one in this week, which you're, like you said, you're definitely going to need. The other two guys I want to talk about for you is letdown week last week from Sam Laporta and Amon-Ra. Did not have great games in their matchup last week against the Bears. I think both of them were under 5 points, if I remember correctly. Yes, both were under 4 points. Get Denver in the primetime Saturday night game. What are you thinking with those two? Bounce back game incoming?
That was one thing I was kind of happy about, with my game being pretty much meaningless last week after Bull sealed up his win. I was chasing the points title. This would have been nice for them to put up their usual numbers, and I had a chance at it. But obviously, looking ahead to this week, wanted the production to be there this week instead of if it wasn't going to be there. I think there is a bounce back coming here, even though Denver's playing really good football here for the last month and a half. I think there's a bounce back. These guys have been carrying me all year. I mean, they've both been awesome. I like the fact that it's at home. I like the fact that it's in prime time. I think that at least one of them gets in the end zone this week. So I think it's St. Brown.
Okay. As long as he doesn't get Patrick Surtain, I can see that happening. So, all right, let's pick a winner in this one. I will, unfortunately, buddy, take Ice Cream. I think the matchups are there for them this week, and he's just gotten healthy at the right time, so.
Yeah, we're both kind of just, he's gotten healthy. I mean, when there's a lot of cues on these squads. I mean, there was question marks with Devontae coming in, and he was a little banged up. Obviously, I lose Keenan Allen and Pacheco for this week to key parts of my roster. Couldn't really afford to lose. The lineup looks a little thin without them. I certainly needed to win the Adams versus Myers. I couldn't afford to have one of Spears' worst players scoring a touchdown. That's already happened. I think even if that touchdown didn't happen, though, I was going to take the Ice Cream. I just don't love the look of my team. Looks a lot different with Allen and Pacheco on the IR slots. I think Kelsey and Jefferson are going to do me in. I think it's pretty close, though. I don't think it's going to get too out of hand as far as high scoring. I'm just looking at, I have too many long shots with Hubbard, Pickens, DJ Moore. I mean, Moss. Who knows what you're going to get? This could end up being ugly.
The one thing I think you have going for you is I don't love Justin Fields at Cleveland. Cleveland's been giving up some points lately, but they're due for a get-right game, and Fields has actually played well recently, so he's due for a stinker, so.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. I'm gonna need to win that quarterback battle. I said, who knows when to get out of Love, but pretty good matchup at home against Tampa. But gonna probably need to win that quarterback matchup and have Fields have a slow game.
All right, other game: Dogs versus Park. Rematch of 2 weeks ago with me losing by less than a point. Right now, Scher is an 8-point favorite against me. My squad is Patrick Mahomes, Alvin Kamara, Zamir White, CeeDee Lamb, DeAndre Hopkins, Evan Engram, Tyler Lockett, and Jerick McKinnon. Looks like I'm going to be keeping McKinnon in there with Pacheco unlikely to play. So on my squad, obviously Zamir White, punched one in. He's at 7.6 here in the second quarter. Would love to see him get into the mid-teens. That would make me feel pretty good about what I got from him. Let's talk about my tight end, Evan Engram. Since Christian Kirk went out 2 weeks ago, Engram has really stepped up. 9 for 82 in a score against Cincinnati. 11 for 95 and two tutters last week against Cleveland. Two biggest games of the season. First 2 weeks he scored a touchdown as well. Can he keep it up this week against Baltimore Sunday night?
Yeah, absolutely. We saw it at the end of the year last year where Engram turned into the favorite target of Trevor Lawrence, and he is backed into that role. Targets have been there all year. He's been a target monster, actually. He's only had one game under six, and that was the first game of the year. But mostly living in the 7-8 range, two games with double digits. I mean, targets are there. He's going to get his opportunities. Just wasn't getting in the end zone all year, and that's kind of what slowed him down. And now the last two games he's gotten in, turned in some big weeks. So the tide has shifted. He's the number one target in the Jacksonville passing game right now. And going to reap the benefits here. Tough matchup. Baltimore defense is pretty good. I mean, I know they gave up a bunch last week as far as points to the Rams, but still a pretty tough matchup, but he's going to keep it going. Another good game this week.
I hope so. Another guy I want to talk about from my team, we've talked about him a lot on the pod this year, but DeAndre Hopkins gets Houston, going back to face the old squad. And I think this is an outstanding matchup for him. I'm excited coming off that big win Monday night. Houston has been susceptible through the air this year. And I think DeAndre is on a path to prove to people that he's not washed.
Yeah, where Colin was wrong. part of the segment right here, where Shane was wrong. Got that $100 sitting in escrow right now, just getting ready to hand it over to Phil. Bet he wishes he was here for this segment. Gotta love the matchup. Getting the old rivalry game here. First week of the fantasy playoffs. He's hot. 12 targets both of the last 2 weeks. And Tutter both of the last 2 weeks. 3 out of the last 4. Clearly a good connection with Levis. Didn't see that coming. but there's clearly something there where making it a point to get him the ball. And it's going to continue this week. He's going to have another really nice game.
I think so, too. I think that 13-point projection might be a little light on DeAndre. Yeah. All right, Parkside. Kyler Murray, Jalen Warren, Kyron Williams, Tyreek Hill, Puka Nacua, T.J. Hockenson, Travis Etienne, and Cooper Kupp. Sure has been hesitant since Kupp came back to have all three of his Rams in the lineup together. But this week they get the, as Papa Kaz called them, the Washington two-hand touch Commanders. there's no defense being played by the Commies. Ron Rivera's office is packed up. He is ready to move out in a couple weeks. And these guys are projected for a combined 46 points between the three of them. I know Kyron Williams is going to score. I just don't know how many times. This is another reason I almost picked up Stafford, was to try to get some of the touchdowns, but obviously didn't do it. Let's set the over-under for these three at 50 total between those three guys this week.
Yeah, so Scherz couldn't ask for a better matchup here. He's had the Rams stack all year. We talked about it a bunch of times in the first few weeks of the year when we had him on the show, how he was going to play this, what he was going to do with having all three of these guys. You feel like you got to play them all. I think he's going to need it. I mean, these are clearly the strong point of his team. He's been riding these guys all year. I'm going to go over. I think it's a big Rams game again. I'm going to go slightly over 50 because I think there's got to be close to 300 total yards between the three of them, and I think there's at least two tutters, so
yep.
Throw receptions in there. That puts you at 42 before the receptions.
Yep. So. Yep. I think it's probably over as well. I'm terrified of these guys in this game. I think all three of them could score. Would not be shocked. The other player I want to talk about is the number one wide receiver in the NFL this year. Assure's best player. Has made it a point that he wants 2,000 yards this season. And obviously that average came down a little bit last week with the ankle injury and only going 4 for 61 against Tennessee. The Jets have been kind of hard to throw on, but I think Tyreek wants to get back on track if he's healthy. He had the Black Friday game against the Jets. He went 9 for 102 on a score. Are we expecting a similar game this week against the Jets? This is a home game for them, too, on Sunday.
Yeah. Obviously, you got to like the fact that he's a little hobbled. Might be the only thing that can slow him down. He's putting up video game numbers. He's the new-aged AB, where he's the true wide receiver that's a league winner. And I think it's another good week, even though he's hobbled. I think it's another good week. I'm going to temper my expectations a little bit. I think it's a little lower than what we've come accustomed to and a little lower than what he did the first time against them, but I still see him probably getting in the end zone. So maybe like 80 to 90 yards, somewhere in that range in a score.
Yeah, I just don't see a way to slow him down unless the ankle injury really is bad. Then he may be off the field a little more than he is usually, but fully expecting a big game from Tyreek this week as well. All right, let's pick a winner in this one. I'll let you go first.
Yeah. Should be a really good matchup. I mean, these are two really good teams, clearly two of the best teams in the league. Going to really come down to sure needing that Rams stack to perform. Obviously, he's road hill. He needs Hill to perform. But I think I got some question marks more so on the Park side than I do on the Dog side. I love the Dogs matchup. I think Mahomes has a huge week this week. Kamara gets a good matchup. Lamb's going to score again. It's Desert Dogs for me. In a really, really close game, because I think sure does get a lot of points from that Rams stack, but I think the Desert Dogs in a close, fairly high-scoring game.
Well, there's one guy playing on Monday night. It's my guy, Tyler Lockett. He's been a dog for life. He's been a dog more than he's not in this league, and I feel like I'm going to need a decent game for Monday night to get it. But
going to run one back?
No. He doesn't do that anymore. but I'm going to take myself as well. I think Mahomes finally leads me to where I've been dying for him to lead me to all season. The Chargers also just fumbled again inside their own 15, so hoping Zamir can punch one in here and get two touchdowns in the first half. That would be fun. But it's tight, and I don't feel great about it. Sure, his team's really good. Jalen Moore and Kyler Murray, those guys don't have great matchups this week. Well, Jalen Moore, it's not that it's a bad matchup. He's just, you never know what his usage is going to be like. But I think we get it done. But I agree, it's going to be tight, so. Expect to win, as KB used to say.
Yeah, I just think your team's rounding into shape. I think it's pretty clear, in my opinion, right now. I think you and Ed have the best two teams right now. I think yours is probably the top one right now. That gets the benefit of the bye, but if everything holds true, what we both said, I think it's going to be, so it's going to be, that would be Curtin versus Ice Cream and Dogs versus Weebles to set up the semifinals.
Yeah, I'd love to not have to play Ed in round two. So in that sense, if I do win, I am rooting against you, unfortunately. Yeah. Don't take it the wrong way. Just Ed's team is really tough. And I've already beaten him twice, so
tough to beat a team three times.
Yeah, that's what they say. That's what they say. All right. Anything else you feel like we need to talk about related to Soffel here for the first round of the playoffs?
No. It's been a good season. Excited to have the playoffs starting here. It's a fun time of year. Should be interesting. I think I still think just like I said a couple weeks ago, I still think just about everyone that's in the playoffs. I mean, it's cliche to say, but I could very easily see any team that's here alive win it all.
Yeah,
hasn't always been the case. Usually, I feel like we've had a lot in the past where it's there's one or two really stacked teams that you just kind of know are going to win. It would be a shock if they didn't. I don't know that I'd be tremendously shocked if anyone won. I think there are, like I said, clear cut. I think you and Ed are a little above everyone. I think Scherz just below you guys. But I still think me, Spears, and Bull are teams that are capable of certainly keeping it close and winning against all three of you guys. So pretty evenly matched playoffs here. Should be fun.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I think Bowles' team has gotten some abuse, especially from the Seawolves last week. But like you said, it's a good team. It's a deep team. He doesn't have anyone that really jumps off the page, but all his players get targets, get carries. Jaden Reed has been a touchdown machine. Like, they're all involved. And if Purdy's going to keep throwing to Deebo Samuel, I don't see any reason why another passing touchdown. I don't see why Purdy isn't a bet for 25 points a week, you know? So a lot of it comes down to health. A lot of it comes down to matchups. And it's going to be fun. So I'm glad to be a part of the playoffs again. It's always fun when you're in this league and these last 3 weeks mean something. So. I did start updating because it had been a couple years since I updated like the archives to get some totals as far as regular season winning percentage and stuff. Nice. So I did actually look at that the other day. I wanted to pull that up because I think you are still the best regular season team in the league.
That's what we're all about.
So it's a little jaded because the Flock actually has the best winning percentage in the regular season through the end of the 22 season. I haven't updated it yet with this year's regular season, but coming into this year, the Flock start out 29-12 in their first three seasons, which is just incredible.
Pretty good out the gate.
Yep. You are 64-42 for a 60% win percentage, and I'm 62-44, so you got me by two games.
That was at the end of last year.
That was at the end of last year, so it's one
so
now.
You picked one up on me
yeah,
this year.
Yeah. The interesting thing that I saw is that, you know, Ed, obviously, two titles. Ed's made the playoffs 6 of the 8 years. But he's under 500 because of that last year going 1-13.
So, yeah,
had
a really bad year.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's been fun. It's always good to look back and look at this. If we factor in playoff win losses, then I have you. I'm 69-46 combined. You are 67-47. So
I am the Peyton Manning of softball. Yeah. That's what you're saying.
But you do have 4 division titles, so that is more than anyone. Right behind you is Mix Mad Dogs with 3 division titles.
Wow.
So Mix, this year and last year, haven't been great for him, but just like Jason, he was, you know, great from day one. in this league. So, yeah, it's always fun to go back and look at that stuff. And I am the only player to have over 12,000 points in the regular season. You are second, right behind me at 11,820.
Nice.
And third in points scored in league history is our other podcast member, the Seawolves, 11,762. So me, you, and Phil, top three all-time in scoring in Soffel. Just lets all you guys know that the right guys are the ones talking about the league to you on a week-to-week basis.
You can take this information to the bank.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, always fun to talk Soffel, especially playoffs. Appreciate you joining me. And good luck to all those participating this week. And we will catch up with you next week when we break down the semifinals in the Sons of Fantasy Football League.